We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So that's going to wrap it up for the Notre Dame portion, Ryan. We're going to next talk about just the first round overall and just kind of what some of your thoughts are in round one. So obviously what we're hearing, and you know, I think now is when you start to see some things kind of get finalized at the top of the draft. Obviously the Bears are taking Caleb Williams. We're hearing, from legitimate NFL sources that the Commanders have locked in on Jaden Daniels. And yes, the thing that I heard about an hour before we started the show was that the Patriots are locking in on Drake May. Now, that could be a smoke screen. Obviously, your mock draft came out before all that started to come out, where there was a lot of talk. I mean, just as of last night, I was having some fun doing a round one mock draft, Ryan, just for fun, on the PFF simulator. And I actually had Drake May going 5 because everything I was reading as of yesterday was that the Patriots like J.J. McCarthy, or they may even, you know, take someone that's not a quarterback. They weren't locked into a quarterback.
Here's my take on number 3. If the Patriots stay there, they'll take Drake May. But I think that they also are a high, I don't want to say high likelihood, but I believe that they can trade out. And if they do trade out, I actually think a team's coming up for J.J. and not for Drake, as funny as that sounds.
I agree with you, I think that's going to be a mistake, but I agree with you. I don't think either one of those guys are necessarily top 5 quarterbacks. I think you have Drake as your number 3 quarterback in this draft class, right?
Yep.
He's number 2 for me. I really like Drake May. He's another young and true junior, you know, I think's got loads of potential. But, yeah, we've talked about this. His junior film was not great. I think a lot of it had to do with the coaching he received in the town around him, but we'll see. But, yeah, I would not be shocked if – like the J.J. McCarthy stuff is one of two things. They're in falling in love with the winner thing, or he's this year's Will Levis. You know what I mean? We're like, they're using him as that. Let's see if we get hype around this guy. So the guy that I want falls, you know what I mean? Let's build up all this hype around, you know, if you're the Giants or if you're, you know, a team looking to trade up and, but you don't have the ammo to go all up to 3. Let's see if we can do enough to get J.J. to be that guy. So maybe Drake can fall to 5 or 6 and then we might be able to move up. I mean, that stuff happens in the NFL, Ryan. You and I 100%. Both know that. Yep. And so that's where the smoke about Will Levis going number 4 last year, the day before the draft, comes from a very reputable, trusted NFL person in Daniel Jeremiah. And he doesn't even go round 1. You know, that's, I can't believe this guy's falling. Well, that's because he was never, ever going to be that high of a pick.
That's another thing that's planted in people's minds, though. He puts out that thing, and there's no association between Indianapolis and Anthony Richardson. You know why? Because they were always going to take Anthony Richardson. That was just their guy.
Like, they didn't want anybody.
Right or wrong, that was their guy.
Exactly. Who was much better as a rookie than I thought, Ryan. I've gone back and
watched. I hope he's able to stay healthy, because it's been a little bit of a thing the last couple of years with him. But, yeah, man, he was playing well.
I thought he was going to need a year to develop. Yeah. I did.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Well, I'll throw a big shout out to Shane Steichen, who's the head coach for the Indianapolis Colts. He did tremendous things with Jalen Hurts the year before as his offensive coordinator. So I think that guy's just a really good offensive coordinator and quarterback developer or quarterback helper, I guess is more better way to put it.
So Ryan, we have the run on quarterbacks that's going to happen. I believe you have four going in your top five, correct? Because you have Caleb Williams going number one to the Bears. You have Jaden Daniels going number two to LSU. Mm-hmm. You have J.J. McCarthy going number three to the Vikings, who would then basically trade 11 and 23, correct?
Yes.
With the Patriots to move up to number three. You have Arizona taking Marvin Harrison four, and then the New York Giants trading up a spot to get Drake May.
Yep.
So once we get past the quarterback run, let's talk about the first round. What do you see as the strengths of this draft class?
Yeah, well, I think that it's a very offensive heavy class overall. I mean, I think I have one defensive player in the top 10, and it was number eight to the Atlanta Falcons, right? And I think that that is very realistic. Again, this was a predictive mock. I would be shocked if we have more than one defensive player in the top 10. Shocked. Yeah. I mean, for context purpose, I'm telling you that 90% of the top 10 is going to be offensive players. 90%.
Per your mock, 10 of the top 11.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a second player being drafted till Kerryon Mitchell with number 12 with the Broncos.
It is a big time offensive class this year. And it's not a bad defensive class necessarily. It's just we don't really have the elite guys at the top. Like you have a couple of very talented quarterbacks this year that we always know that NFL teams are going to push for. It's a really good offensive tackle class. It's a really good wide receiver class. Like those are the three most important ones. I think corner is another really good one, but overall it is an offensive heavy class. So I think that after the quarterbacks go, my biggest question mark is, does the wide receiver run start immediately or is the offensive tackle run start immediately? Because that's going to determine a lot of what happens the next like 10 or 15 picks. I think that it's going to be more offensive tackle driven right after that, because I actually had a wide receiver falling a little bit compared to where he's been mocked mostly. And I had Malik Nabers go number nine to the Chicago Bears in this mock draft.
So. If the Bears come away from this draft with Caleb Williams and Malik Nabers, it's either going to end up being beautiful or horrible. Because you have two kids that are freaky talents, but also some questionable aspects.
Volatile
is a good way of putting it. Very good way of putting it.
Yeah.
So that can end up being a grand slam home run for the Bears that completely changes the face of their franchise, like what Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase have done with the Bengals. or it becomes like, yep, that's the Bears being the Bears, man. It's right. It really is. So yeah, I did notice that. And then you have Odunze going 10.
Yep.
And you know, so it is going to be fascinating, because that like you said, it affects the next 10 or 15 picks. If all of a sudden those receivers fall down, then, you know, what do teams do? That, hey, look, we can trade up and get one of the top receivers, or hey, receivers are falling down, we can hold Pat, and maybe a Brian Thomas or somebody like that falls to us. I also think there's some receivers in round two, Ryan, and I'm going to set you up for this one because I know you and I are on the same page on this. I know that there's some guys that are going to be available in round two that are going to shock some people, that I think could be like Michael Pittman's and T. Higgins, who end up being really good football players. And the guy that I still am floored by, the I'm curious to see if NFL teams actually feel this way, that draft Twitter and even reputable analysts feel, which is that Keon Coleman's a second round pick. Right. I watched that kid play and I'm like, I know what the testing said, but I also know what my eyes tell me when I watch this kid's film at Michigan State and at Florida State. And that is, he played with a gamer, but a very inaccurate quarterback in a very college system that I see being a 6'4", really athletic, knows how to play, knows how to win kind of guy. And if you don't believe me, go watch the LSU film this year. I mean, he was tremendous in that game.
I mean, I love Keon Coleman. I think I had him as a top 12 player in this class for me personally. I'm bought into the athleticism, to the physicality, and also, one of the only few players in this class that are going to be 20 years old after this weekend, right? So he's going to get drafted. He's super young. Does he need to play with a little bit more nuance and patience as a wide receiver? Absolutely. Does he need to just be a little bit more willing to be – passive is not the right word, but he's one of those guys that – you remember Jamar Chase coming out of LSU? He was fantastic. But one thing that people didn't like about Jamar Chase, and I clearly understood, was he just tried to bully everyone all the time. And he didn't have any attention to detail as a player because he was just trying to out-physical everyone. And it was just like, Jamar, like, you're a good athlete, bro. Like, you don't have to just physically push off dudes all the time and just be that guy that just kind of initiates contact. You could be a little more patient as a player. And I feel the same about Keon. Like, I think Keon just needs to kind of chill out a little bit, get some good coaching, and he has superstar upside. I really do. But ultimately, it's going to be tough because he is a kid that's a little bit of a developmental guy as far as early on. Mm-hmm. And this is a class that has a lot of great pass catchers, man. So yeah. I have him going in the early second round. I would personally take him in the first round, and I would have no hesitation on it. But I just think that when you're talking about the loaded wide receiver class we have, he's a guy that I think could fall down a little bit just because he might not be the ready-made prospect that obviously a Rome Odunze is, or even a Ladd McConkey is early in the second round. Like, just a little bit more of a volatile player, but the upside is tremendous.
You know what's going to piss me off, Ryan? Yeah. This is exactly what's going to happen.
Okay.
We're going to fall to the end of the first round.
Yep.
And the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be freaking sitting there at number 32. And a guy like Keon Coleman is going to fall to them, and you're going to be like, seriously,
that's what they need, man.
Exactly, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, he would be the there's two teams that I have, and I'm doing this as a fan, right? So everybody in Ryan does this, you know, for a living. I'm doing this as a fan, but there's two teams that I'm looking at late in round one that I could see stealing Keon Coleman, and it would be a major needle mover for me. The Chiefs are one. The other one is a few spots ahead of them. I could see the Detroit Lions at number 29 saying, because all their receivers are cookie cutters, in my opinion, of each other. Shorter. And I'm watching the bench, and I'm like, if they just had a big guy that could just win over the top and win over the middle, this offense would be really dangerous. And so I had him actually going 29 in my mock draft of the Lions, but I could see the Chiefs sitting there at 32 and Keon falls to them. And then just once again, the Chiefs sit home at 32 and get some dude that keeps their thing rolling, which, even though I've quit the Broncos, I can promise you this, Ryan, I will never be a fan of a AFC West team.
Chief Kingdom?
Yes. I love watching Pat Mahomes play. I don't have a disdain for the Chiefs at all. I respect the heck out of that franchise.
Yep.
But it's just like, the NFL keeps doing these dumb things, and that's why teams like them keep winning. Steelers were like this for a long time, where they would just kind of sit home in the late 20s and just let all these teams take these high upside guys that weren't actually good football players, and then the Chiefs would stay home and get some really good football player at like 22 or 25, and you're just like, seriously, every year this happens. And the Chiefs have become that franchise where it's like, you're seriously going to let that guy fall to you? You're going to seriously let that guy fall to you? And I think some team like that's going to get a really good wide receiver late in the first round because of how deep it is.
Yeah, it's very possible. It's very possible because I think there's a little bit of overthink with Keon to a degree, right? I do think that there are some justifiable things that you look at and say, that worries me a little bit. The lack of separation, the lack of nuance.
Coachable things, though, Ryan. Well, exactly. Coachable things.
Exactly. I mean, he kind of got the Aldrick Estime treatment a little bit. It was like the rest of his combine was awesome, but then he ran 4.61, and that's just all people wanted to talk about. It's just
but like, yet he runs like 2-3 miles an hour faster than most of the other receivers going through the gauntlet. Because that's the thing. When that kid's playing, he's that kind of guy, man.
Well, I would put it like this. How many 6'3", 6'4", 250-pound guys do you know that return punts for their team? Like, that's just a testament to the type of athlete that I think he is. If he can figure it out and he gets good coaching and he's a part of a good system, I think that Keon has a chance to be a very, very good football player in the next level. It is going to take a little bit more patience than maybe a couple of guys, but that patience could pay off big time.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Here's an interesting position, Ryan. You've talked about tackle being a strength of this class. And I think you said something earlier when we were talking about Notre Dame that I think is very fascinating. It's going to be the thing that could really make this an interesting day one. Is I do like the top of the tackle class quite a bit. Joe Walt, you've got, you know, Olu Fashanu, you've got the kid from Oregon State, you've got the kid from Washington who I like. Not quite as much as where I'm seeing him being projected, but after that top five, and J.C. Latham is an enigma to me that we can talk about if you want, but after that top group that I see constantly projected, I think there's a bit of a drop-off, and I think we could see situations where teams panic and trade up to 19 and take a Tyler Guyton or type of player.
It's possible.
We see this every year at that position. That's my point. I'm not doing it, but we see this all the time where teams panic because of the early run at tackle. And then they trade up and they, you know, like the Raiders taking Alex Leather, trading up, I believe, a couple years ago to take Alex Leatherwood. We remember what the Texans 20. Did. Right. Yeah. We remember what the Texans did the year they took. Who was it? Titus Howard,
maybe Alabama State.
Who was it that reached for Andre Dillard at the end of the first round one year, right? Because it was like, hey, we're panicking. So that's quarterback and offensive tackle more than any other position, to me, are the two positions that can cause otherwise smart NFL people to make really dumb decisions. Right. And I'm curious if that's going to happen. If the tackle run starts early like you think it could,
yes,
I'm very curious to see how that impacts 20 to 32 in regard to teams trading up and trying to get in there to take one of those next in line tackles.
I mean, it's very possible because I've made my peace with J.C. Latham. I think J.C. Latham could be a butt kicker at guard potentially, but I have serious issues with his balance issues and he gets a lot of penalties, man. Like those things scare the heck out of me for a guy that big. Like it really scares the heck out of me. But I've made my peace with him. I think he has a place. And I'm willing to bet on him more than I am with Tyler Guyton, for instance, who's a very good athlete out of Oklahoma, but stiff as a board, man. Like he can't bend. I don't know what we're doing with that one. I really don't know. I would rather be patient with guys like Roger Rosengarten in the second round out of Washington, a Karam Abangaji out of Yale as a second to third rounder. Like, there's still value to be found in this class. I do think, though, that team that, and this is offensive line evaluation failure at offensive tackle, because I think the NFL, for the most part, they do pretty well with evaluating interior players because it's easier to find, right? Offensive tackle is such an interesting position, because if I showed you the top 10 highlight plays of J.C. Latham from this past year, you'd be like, that kid's a top 10 pick. But then you watch the rest of it where you're just like, I'm not sure. That's just not who he is all the time. And that's why some people undervalue Jawalt, because maybe his highlights aren't as quite as flashy as J.C. Latham, but like his game-to-game is much, much better and much cleaner. So I think that people fall for the flash. That's why Tyler Guyton's getting pushed up, and Tyler Guyton's going to be a first-round pick, even though I didn't have him in my mock draft, just because I refused to do it. But he's going to get drafted in the first round.
So you see where I'm coming from, though, Ryan. Yeah. Like that's going to happen. We see it all the time. And I agree with you, because some of those second-round players are not the sexy athletes. And this is exactly the point that I made about Alex Leatherwood. Yes. You could give me his top 10 plays, and he's going to be one of the more impressive guys on this clip. Like, when you show his 10 clip highlight, you're gonna be like, wow, that guy must be really good. I didn't think he was, like, to me, I'm gonna use a guy that you love as an example. Okay. There's a difference between Alex Leatherwood and Amarius Mims.
Yeah,
like where Amarius Mims is still a highlight reel guy because of the fact he just has such limited opportunities because of health. But when he's been healthy, he's a much more consistent player than an Alex Leatherwood was.
Yes,
over a period of time. So, like, I'm Alex Leatherwood. I think of the kid that went Isaiah Wilson, that have these great highlight reels. But I'm like, did you actually watch that kid play on a consistent basis? And this is where O-line. This is why I would never let an O-line coach in the room on draft day, because they will convince themselves that you give me that kid and I can coach him up more than any other position. Where quarterback coaches will be kind of like, nah, coach, I don't want that guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's not, where Michael, I'll fix him. You know, I'll get him going. And I'm just like, can you get grandpa out of the room, please? Because we're not drafting that kid. But that's how you get talk yourself into an Alex Leatherwood in the top 20. And Isaiah Wilson late in the first round. You know what I mean? Like, and of course, colossal busts.
Yes.
Right? And so, but that's what happens is you fall in love with the dominant reps. I said this last week about talking about Notre Dame. I don't care if Tosh Baker or Emil Wagner ever have a dominant block in their lives. If they just do their job every snap, that's all I care about at right tackle. That's it next year. It's all I care about. And I don't think enough people understand that when talking about offensive line, because they fall in love with this mauling clip and they just like, this guy's just not that good though. He can't bend. He can't get it. He can't get into a kick slide and handle any kind of pressure. You know, it just that's why there's so many misses.
Yeah. Well, Alex Leatherwood was one that I predicted the Alex Leatherwood thing was going to happen. I predicted him going early in the first round. Yeah. Yeah. I predicted it. Yeah. Because he was one of those guys that he played so much football at Alabama and he had the length and all that type of stuff. You're just like, yeah, the team's going to draft him high. Like, it's going to happen. But I remember watching this film just like, guys, this is like a fringe day two player. It's maybe funny.
There's been a lot of Bama guys like that. Like the 2012 offensive line had a lot of busts on it. And I'm like, guys, you don't none of these guys are stars. They're all just good players that play really well together. And they're huge.
Yep.
You know, but none of them are projecting. You know, James Carpenter was a bust in Seattle, if I remember correctly. DJ Fluker was never what people thought he was. And
he was OK.
You know, ended up being a decent guard, which is, you know, not a surprise. You know, the Kajando kid was a guy that ended up not – he was second round. I think he fell to the second round because of injuries, if I remember correctly.
Cyrus Quanjo. Right?
Yeah. And then Barrett Jones.
Fourth rounder.
Yeah. And I don't know that any of those guys really were – but that's the thing. You can fall in love with this line and Bama and they're big and they're – but they're a great unit. They're not, none of those guys are necessarily individually great. I do think there's been a lot of Bama guys overdrafted at certain positions.
Oh, no doubt.
D-line, O-line especially. And the performances of those players. D-line has actually kind of improved in recent years. But there was a stretch there where Bama was putting out a bunch of D-linemen and like none of them were panning out.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And recently we've seen a lot more of that. So You know, yeah.
Alabama's like the reverse Notre Dame in offensive line, right? Like where Notre Dame develops them well and some of them go underrated for whatever reason. Alabama, everyone's kind of overrated yes. and don't do well in the NFL.
Sometimes the sum is greater than the individual parts, and Bama is a perfect example of that, in my opinion. So, Ryan, what are some things that you could see happening on draft day? So let's just, you know, these aren't necessarily predictions as we wrap up. And I know you got to run here, but as we kind of wrap this up, what are some things that either A, you're hearing, number one, and then B, just some thoughts that you have of just, you know, studying the draft over the years that you could say, hey, keep an eye on this, not predictions, but just some things that you think, hey, I'm hearing this may happen. There may be a corner run at this time. I'm just as an example, or there may be this. Mm-hmm. What are some things you're hearing? And then what are some things that you say, hey, keep an eye on this here late round one, or this is because I could see some things happening tonight that make tomorrow before day two starts be crazy with teams trying to get up and those type of things.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, a couple predictions, I guess, or a couple things that I'm very interested to see. One, as I said before, I think that the Atlanta Falcons are the only team that's going to take a defensive player in the top 10. I'm just not sure who that's going to be. Most people seem to think it's going to be Dallas Turner from Alabama, the edge rusher, which very well could be. I mean, it's a player that makes sense for them to move it to a 3-4 system, but I'm not certain that it's not going to be a corner. So Quinyon Mitchell, I think, is an interesting player to watch at number 8 out of Toledo. I also say Terrion Arnold out of Alabama, the other corner, I think is an interesting player to watch at potentially 8. So who that first defensive player is off the board. A guy that I think is going to go a lot earlier than people think, and one that's going to slide, same position, Zach Frazier, the center from West Virginia. I think he's going to be a first-round pick. I think he could go top 25, potentially. It's possible, based upon what I'm hearing. The other guy that I think is going to fall, I had him in my first-round mock just because I really do like his film, but he's got a little bit of medical stuff, is Jackson Powers Johnson, the center out of Oregon. I think he could slide potentially out of the first round. He just has some durability stuff that he's kind of working. It's working against him right now. So those are a few, I guess, of the main ones that I have right now. I think that the corner run is going to start somewhere in the preteens, the teens, somewhere in that ballpark. And I'm very curious to see where A.D. Mitchell is going to come off the board as well. That's my last guy because people make a lot of things about diabetes and stuff like that. Like there's a lot of things around A.D. Mitchell right now, but I've heard some people say he could be a top 25 pick. I've heard other people say that he's going to slide into the second round. He's a little bit of a volatile player to project. So I'm interested to see where A.D. ends up.
Couple things here real quick, Ryan. I actually had him going 28 to the Bills in my little fun mock draft, which is another example of just the rich keep getting richer. Because if they can figure it out with that kid, with that arm, like to me, it's a perfect fit for Josh Adams. It's a dude, you only need to run three routes, post, goes, and overs, deep overs. Like that's it. And then let Josh just go to work. You know what I mean? You know, and then I had my corner run starting at 13. Where do you see Cooper DeJean going in this draft? Like where do you like, do you have some teams in mind? I had him going 15 to the Colts. I heard the Colts. I've read that the Colts are looking for corners. I really like that kid's film. Where do you see him going?
My favorite fits with the Packers because the Packers need outside corner because Jair Alexander, his future is kind of up and down a little bit. They could also use a nickel and they could also use a safety. So Cooper DeJean is a guy that could play all of those things. He's really a rare player. Not necessarily a rare grade. Like I'm not calling him a generational player, but you don't often get guys that could legitimately play outside corner, nickel, or safety. He could play all over the place. So he's a very rare football player. So Green Bay is an interesting one.
And he's white. Not that. He can return kicks, return punts.
Oh, he's a great athlete. Good
punt returner.
He's a freak athlete, man. Go look at his track and field background.
Have you ever seen his high school basketball film?
I haven't seen the high school basketball film. I've seen the track
and field numbers. He's rising up two-hand, like cocking it back and banging on. He's like 6'1". So yeah, he was a freaky athlete. Ryan, we did have one super chat before you get out of here. And I didn't bring this up because I wanted a super chat to do it. Christopher Crosby asked, Ryan, Byron Murphy or Jerzon Newton? I think I've seen some people call him Johnny Newton.
Yeah, he goes by Johnny.
I've been in arguments about it. I think Newton is the better player and people look at me like I'm crazy. What say you?
I believe that Jerzon Newton is also a better football player than Byron Murphy. I think Byron Murphy is a little more flashy at times, but Jerzon Newton has been consistently dominant for Illinois the last 2 years. Both guys are actually kind of similar body types. They're a little bit sawed off and lower built to the ground, but I really like Jerzon Newton. The only thing about, and because predictive wise, Christopher, I would say that I think Byron Murphy is going to go before Jerzon Newton. I do believe it because there's actually some not character things around Jerzon, but there's some coachability things around Jerzon. So like, that's one thing that's kind of working against him a little bit. And he's coming off an injury that cost him, you know, the entirety of this draft process and a little bit of this past season. So things are holding Newton back, but I think Newton's a top 20 player in this class when healthy. And I think he could be a tremendous football player. I actually don't have a first round grade or actually anything even that I have like a late second, I think, on Byron Murphy. He's one guy that I think is being overvalued way too much in this class.
I will leave you with this, Ryan. I saw some stuff that came out while you and I were first started on this that said that the Rams, there's a lot of people saying the Rams are calling teams in the top 10 trying to move up. Where do you see the Rams going if, in fact, they are trying to go up? Would it be tackle? Do you think a receiver? What are your thoughts?
Tackle or defensive line. Obviously, you have to replace Aaron Donald. Maybe they're moving up for a D-tackle, I guess. I would hate it if they're moving up for Byron Murphy.
I mean, it'd be the two guys Byron Murphy talked about, right? Like,
it'd be Byron Murphy if they were going to move up, which I think would be a mistake. The other one would be edge. You know, maybe if a Jared Verse or Dallas Turner or somewhere around pick 10, maybe you move up there. The other spot is
tackle. Like a Joe Alt, like something like that.
Maybe a Joe Alt. I think a tackle just in general, though. They need a true left tackle, so Alt would be on the short list. They don't need another right tackle. They have a pretty good right tackle, but I could see him moving up for someone like an Alt, or if they think an Amarius Mims could play left tackle, or an Olufoshanu if they wanted to go that route.
Just since you're a Rams fan, Ryan, I did have the Rams staying at 19 and taking Newton. That's who I had in my mock draft.
I'd be great with that if that's what happened, but I just don't think it's going to happen, unfortunately. So we'll see.
Well, Ryan, I know you got to run. Thank you. Ryan and I will have some wrap-up stuff here over the next couple of days as well. I'm going to talk to Ryan about this because we're normally going to have a recruiting show tomorrow, but I'll talk to him. We may do some other things. We'll see. We'll see what we're going to do tomorrow, but we'll be back tomorrow. Going to be a lot of fun. Ryan, obviously joining us, talking NFL draft. You guys know he loves the NFL draft. So we're going to move on to some Notre Dame topics here about the draft, or I'm going to move on to those. But before we do, folks, do me a favor. Hit that like button. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the notification bell. Share this podcast. Give us a 5-star review. And as always, if you have not done so, sign up for the message board at boards.irishbreakdown.com.